Chapter 52, which can be found on page 271-272. We are wrapping up these final ideas of relating to God. And in the last chapter, he asked a question of, or basically filled in the answer of a question that was asked in chapter 35 concerning the statement of the Yanuka that a wise person's eyes are in his head, and he asked, where is a person's eye supposed to be? And he went to the whole thing about the divine revelation and the whole difference between Mamale and Sovev, that godliness which is revealed and that godliness which is not revealed. And he used an example of the brain being the sentry point for the vitality to come into the body.
Yes.
And then he used and said that, and he's going to say in chapter 53 about this idea about the same thing with the Kashi Kedoshim, and that's what the whole thing was based on Malakalaris Kevoide. What do you mean when you say that the divine presence rested in on the Harabayas in Kashi Kedoshim, the world is filled with Hashem's glory? And this is where we're coming to a conclusion. So he says, now, Kemai, it's a very long sentence, his first sentence. Kemai Shevin Hashamas Ha'adam, Iker Gile Klalas Ha'chayas, Hu B'maychin. Just like it is, that the sentry point for the person's body, or the life coming into their body, is found in the brain, the vitality which is in the brain. This is like, that's like the major organ, and everybody that I know thinks with their brains, although I will have to qualify that, I suppose.
I hope I only know people think with
their brains. Yes. Hamor lehem amakar gilei hachayah shebamechim. And all the different body parts get their vitality from the brain. And there's a whole discussion as to what it is that's actually enclosed in the eye, for example. We know that once the eye is functioning, there's sight. There's called something called the power of sight. Yeah. So is it that the neshama is a dover pashut, something which is a simple entity without definition, and once it's clothed in the eye, it's now there's something called the power of sight, or is there something called the power of sight in the soul? Yeah. So the Alter Rebbe wants to maintain more that the soul is just a simple entity, and once it's limited by the composition of the eye, so that then causes the eye to the soul to be able to see through the eye.
It becomes a cavity for it.
Yes, the soul. The in other words, what's determining the power of sight is the eye.
Is the eye itself,
rather than the neshama.
Right.
And the example which is given in Hasidus is a blind person can have sighted children.
Yes.
Because there's no deficiency in the neshama of a person who is blind. Right. The deficiency is in the eye.
Right.
So he says, so then it lines up and it goes through all the different body parts and enlivens them so that every single body part gets the vitality which is proper to it. So too it is, one of my favorite expressions in Tanya.
So indeed.
Kacha mamish. Somewhat sort of like this is absolutely is it. Somewhat sort of. Alderich Mashal, by way of an example.
Okay.
Is it the creations that they are the vessels by which the godliness is enclosed in them, and they are incorporated in Hashem's will and His wisdom and His understanding and His knowledge, or Daito Yisborach, Hanikra B'Shem Meichin, that's all called Hashem's brain, so to speak. V'heinham Alushim B'Teirah Mitzvaseha. This is what is enclosed in the Torah and the Mitzvahs. And this he talked about chapter 35-39. The reason of the importance of doing mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. Is, and he's been saying it all along, what's the definition of Torah is the will and wisdom of Hashem. And Hashem and His will and wisdom are one. And also all other types of jargon that Hashem is connected to the Torah, which is connected to the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. So this is Vigile Klalas Hamshachazu Hu Makar Hachayas Asher Ha'olamais Mekablim Kol Echad Bepratius. So the revelation of this general life force, which is conveyed in the Torah, is like the brains of that level of existence. Okay, so we have a physical world, for example, and godliness comes into the world. What's the sentry point for godliness to come into the world is the Torah. the 24 books of the Torah and all of the volumes of the Torah Shebal Peh, which at this point numbers well over 100,000. Because that's the way in which the will and wisdom of Hashem is conveyed into this world.
Yes. This is the Torah Shebal Peh with 13 attributes all
the whole deal,
broken
yes.
out.
Yeah, the whole deal. Okay?
That's the intersection.
Because what is it that, how is it that the Torah is conveyed in this world is it describes physical scenarios and situations. Right. The Torah that we have is a three-dimensional object. Yeah. It talks about physical tefillin made out of physical leather and physical mezuzahs made out of physical parchment and physical tzitzis which are made of physical wool.
Mm-hmm. Oxes
and a physical ox for the carbonus, etc., etc. And all this is physical because now, so how is it that it gets here? How is it that this, well, let's use a stretch of an example, this cow gets made into cholent is now conveying Hashem's will because in the Torah it says that's the way it is. So the Torah, if you're looking at a book and you're seeing over there, you're reading about cholent and the reason why we eat cholent and what cholent's supposed to be. So that's just that's a theoretical concept.
Right.
But that theoretical concept is the conduit for the godliness to come into this world for our wives to make delicious cholent that we can eat it on Shabbos and be a mitzvah and convey God's will. If it were that we were living in a non-spatial, non-temporal world, so then the Torah wouldn't be talking about physical things because there wouldn't be any physical things. Right. We wouldn't be able to relate to them. You know, like the Malachim, they complained to Moshe to Hashem on Sinai.
Right.
What are you doing giving it to them?
Yeah.
Leave it up with us over here. What do they have over there? So they had, did they have the Torah? Yeah, they have the Torah too because on their level, the Torah, which is the will and wisdom of Hashem, relates to them as well. Is it written on parchment? No, it's not. That's what Moshe answered them. When it says, don't steal, do you guys have a Yetzihara? It says, honor your father and mother, you kids, you guys got parents. Because in our realm, that's how the will and wisdom of Hashem comes down.
Right.
In Yetzirah, the Malachim weren't very smart. They just said, you win. Trump, check. Checkmate. Okay? They came back and said, wait a minute. We don't need mothers and fathers. We have the will and wisdom of Hashem here as it relates to us.
They don't need it still.
Correct.
They have a different Torah.
It's not that they have a different Torah. Their Torah is on a different level.
Torah, less filtered Torah.
Correct. And same thing also, not that you're going to hear the
Simsumen, I'm thinking
not about. That you're going to hear the spheres of Atzilus complaining to Hashem that they want the Torah, but the Torah is manifest, which is the will and wisdom of Hashem, is manifest in the world of Atzilus and in Atzilus mode. Mm-hmm. And the whole process of contraction and containment that we call Seder Histalshalus is in order that what happens is, as we said last week, is the integrity is maintained.
Right.
That from kindness of Atzilus, which is an expression of wisdom of Atzilus, you get things like sugar, which is sweet, and water, which is life-giving, and kindness in a physical way when someone does something to somebody else. All three of those things, totally different things. But they're all drawn from the manifestations of the will and wisdom of Hashem as it filters through kindness. And similarly also, the sourness of a green apple and a father's potch, which is kind of like a bad example, but you know, so, are expressions of divine severity down in this world.
Right.
We've talked about this before. So the... So when the Malachim came and complained, they could have said, we don't need to have fathers and mothers. We have the Torah on our level, and you know what? You guys are going to muck it up, and we'll never muck it up, and you should never have it because, okay, it says don't steal, and you ask me, do I have a Yetzirah? The angel should have come back and said, no, we don't have a Yetzirah, but you guys are going to steal anyway. You're gonna. That was the whole reason. That's what they said. Why are you giving it down to man below? The last time you tried to give something to Adam, what happened? In less than 3 hours, he was on the outside looking in. So he says, you're going to give it to these people. And who says it's going to be any better? And Bemis, they had a valid complaint. Because what happened 40 days later? We're on the outside looking in.
Yeah. Still.
Still, exactly. So the... But they didn't have a good lawyer. That was what the problem was.
Yeah.
You know, they got confronted. Moshe came up here, you know, they got scared, they got nervous, you know. Oh, they got to bring in the big guys, you know. So they could have answered and said, we don't need to have the Torah where there's a manifest physical mother and father. On our level, there is something called Kivud Avim. Mm. Does it involve a mother and a father? No. But we know for sure that if we have Kivud Avim as an expression of divine will, there's got to be something comparable in the higher realms, because it had to pass through there to get to here.
Right.
And every jumping point has its own manifestation of even the Kivud Avim.
Mm.
And they could have said, look, this is it right here. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Malachim don't have mothers and fathers, you know. You could say, you know, Chachma and Bina are called mother and father. So they have this appreciation, you could say. That's just my own Purim Torah. I never saw anything to that nature.
Okay. So here's a question. What is the relevancy of Aganav in Atzilus?
I don't know if I can answer the question.
I mean, if all of Torah passes through there, and if they could answer, you know, we don't need that.
I can't answer it because
it does have some relevance. Apparently,
I would have to have like inside information as to what's going on in Atzilus.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't,
enough.
But I do know. For example, we talked about before the verse in the Torah that it says about Besul, that Besul had a pelegish, a concubine named Ruuma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is a verse in the Torah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what's Ruuma? Ruuma is the source of Klippa. In Atzilus, whereas Chachma is the potential of what will be, Ru'uma is we'll see what will be. Ru'u, Mama, we'll see what will be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, is there Klippa? Is there evil in Atzilus?
Apparently,
no.
Not evil, but at least potential.
Right. There's a source of it. Since potential. Everything, if we're here right. and Atzilus right. is right. there, potential. And there's a Seder Histalshelus, and everything came from there,
mm-hmm.
so everything had to come from there, even evil.
Right. Correct.
So where is evil all rooted? It's all rooted in that one Klippa called Ru'uma.
Hmm.
Yeah. What is it doing there? Not doing a whole lot, because it's only just a potential. Anytime right. you use the word ma just means potential.
So from the back, all the...
Yeah, it's exactly. All the, it's all from the back.
It has to be
it,
there, but...
It's getting it from the what do you call it, the 48 permutations of the name Elohim that are called the hinder ones. You know, so we're not going to go into that. Okay, so...
What if that mother and father would the feminine? There's this feminine.
There's the feminine and the masculine. So that's you know.
That might be,
so
might
how
be
it, that's what I say. The Purim Torah that I came up with is something to do with Chochma and Bina, having to relate how the Malachim relate to it, and that's their Kivud Avim. But you know, I've had enough L'chaims, and it's not Purim.
I don't know any Kabbalah.
So. The Hain Lashon B'Torah Mitzvah Sefer Megillah Klausim Shavuot Zvachim Makor V'Chayis Olamayz Mekavlim Kol Echad V'Pratius. Okay, and that chayas now comes into the world in a very specific way. And it comes through the Torah. We know how to put on tefillin in the morning because of the way it's described in the Torah. Besides more than just okay, there are different ways of putting on tefillin. All of them are different traditions and whatnot, and all of them are correct. And all of them have been passed down as an expression from Hashem's divine will. And are they putting on tefillin in other worlds? Yeah, they are. As it talks about, it says the Bar Mitzvah tefillin. Hashem mazmaniach tefillin. Hashem also puts on tefillin. And what does it say in Hashem's tefillin? It doesn't say Hashem echad because that's a redundancy. Hashem knows he's one. It says, Yesh am echad ki b'aretz, there's one nation in the world. Yisrael, That's what's in Hashem, because the tefillin are supposed to be a reminder. So what's the reminder for Hashem? That there's only one Jewish people. That's what God, quote-unquote, puts on tefillin. And not to say that we should be thinking that Hashem is this big guy, this old man sitting up in a chair, and he's got on these really nice, beautiful tefillin on.
Right.
Especially when you talk about things like it talks in the, when Moshe said, Hareini na'as kvaidecha, show me your glory. And what did Hashem show? He put him in the cleft of the rock and showed him the knot of his tefillin.
Right.
And the best that we could say is, whatever that means. Because Hashem doesn't have a knot of tefillin that Moshe could physically see.
Right.
Okay, so the point that he wants to make over here is that we have the physical world, we have the physical mitzvahs. The reason why there is a physical world. Why are there cows?
So there can be tefillin.
So there can be tefillin.
Inshallah.
Correct. And Chol V'Yisrael.
Torah schools. Okay.
Exactly. Torah whatever. Torah schools are made of sheep, these things. That's why there are cows.
Or a duma.
So now, it just so happens that people do other things with cow. They turn them into sirloin.
Kosher sirloin.
I'm waiting when someone's going to say, I'm taking it upon myself to take out that vein and leave it such that it'll still be a sirloin steak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait for the, that they do in Israel. They have some Sephardi guys.
Whatever. So, the...
never had it.
But it's an amazing thing. Okay? How many cows are in the world? And how many of them have their hides turned into fill-in? Not a whole lot. Yeah, percentage-wise?
Percentage-wise.
Very, very small.
1/100 of 1% maybe.
Maybe. But if it weren't for the whole species of cow, we wouldn't have tefillin.
Right.
We don't care about that. It's the same thing also. Why do you make 100% of your money as an owner that you can give 10 or 20% of it away? Mm-hmm. If you only had 10 or 20% of it, then that you wouldn't be able to give it away because it's not 10 or 20% anymore.
Right.
So you have to have the other 80% so that you give away the 20%. So you have to have this entire species of cow so that, how many Jews put on tefillin in the world? 2 million Jews? 3 million Jews put on tefillin in the world? Okay, so you need 3 million cows to have sacrificed their lives for us so that we can wear their skins hide. Their hides on our bodies.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, of course I am being a little bit flippant because there are other uses for cows, like sure, for example leather couches that you could sit on and take a book and fall asleep on, you know, when you're reading, you're trying to learn Rambam especially, right. You know,
book bindings.
Yes, and you know, shoes to go walking from here to there, the whole business. So all those things that, you know, they're all supplied by cows. Okay, but the whole reason why the species of cow exists is because of all of the Jewish things that can be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true with the entire world. Why does China exist? China exists so that it can build 90% of the things that you use to serve Hashem. That's the reason why China exists.
Indeed.
China exists so that you can have a billion Chinese people, you know, doing whatever they're doing. Who needs a billion Chinamen? Well, we do, because who's going to be making this stuff if it wasn't for them?
Right.
Okay, so now, this sounds very ethnocentric.
Mm.
And this sounds the...
it's for today.
Yeah, this sounds... and in one instance it is, but we have Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. That's a pasukin somewhere. For my sake, the world was created.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But if cows were created in order that tefillin should be made, what does that do for us? That means that we have the responsibility to put on tefillin.
Sure.
We have to do that then. And who's going to put on tefillin if not us? No one else besides Jews is commanded to put on tefillin. And the whole reason why we're commanded to put on tefillin is in order to elevate that part of the world that is unelevatable in any other way.
Which means all the cows, too.
Correct. Okay, so yes, it is. But like the famous saying, with power comes responsibility.
Indeed, it does.
Okay, you know who said that?
Go ahead.
Spider-Man.
Oh.
Yes. Anyway.
But you can't eat meat.
Great, a fictitious character.
Yes.
An atheist can't eat meat. A Jewish atheist.
An Am Haaretz. It says an Am Haaretz, an ignorant person who is not going to sit and learn Torah and go do mitzvah, should not eat meat. Because there's no reason for him to. What is he going to have to eat?
It's not right for the cow to die.
Yeah, what does he have to eat meat for?
The cows are higher level than him, is what the argument I thought it was.
Okay.
The cow's doing Hashem's will.
I heard it the other way.
Maybe you know what?
The other way. He doesn't need it because he doesn't need to elevate to that stat, right, that state. He doesn't. He's not involved with things that are elevating, would elevate the cow.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's sort of like the opposite way of looking at it. Mm. Looking at it from his point as opposed to the cow's point. Mm. Okay, so in every world, the Torah, which is the will and wisdom of Hashem, which in Atzilus is Ratzai, you know, Keser of Atzilus and Chachma of Atzilus, that's the Torah in Atzilus. Mm-hmm. And down here, the will and wisdom of Hashem is written in books. And we read about it and we go, this is brilliant. This is very smart.
Yes.
That's what it says. This is the source of life that every single world receives its vitality specifically. The only thing is how much godliness is there? Is there a difference between the tefillin that Hashem puts on, so to speak, and the tefillin that we put on? Big time.
Yeah.
Because the tefillin that we put on are at maximum 4.4 centimeters by 4.4 centimeters. Anything bigger is not kosher. And it has written in it a certain specific amounts of parchments and a certain specific style and a certain specific size and manner and way that it has to be done. And Hashem's tefillin are infinite, like everything else Hashem does. So there's no way to compare Hashem's quote-unquote tefillin and our tefillin.
Mm.
Other than the fact that they're both tefillin, and our tefillin are the end result of Hashem putting on tefillin. We're at the end of the chain, you might say, the end of the line. So what's here in our world with all of these things is just a little bit of godliness. We call it tefillin holy. What determines it to be holy? The way that we handle it, the way that we act with it.
The way we do with it, right.
We don't put it on the floor, we don't put it under our beds, and even in drawers underneath our beds. Right. You don't bring them into the bathroom. After 80 or 100 years, we bury them.
We control our thoughts.
Exactly, control our thought and body.
We don't.
Okay, because the tell that to the people in shul over there when they have your.
I have to take off my tefillin to answer the phone. I'm annoyed because I don't want to take off my tefillin. I don't want to get this.
I wish that everybody else in shul felt like that because the cell phones. You know, I dive in, it's like I have this symphony going on. You know,
they can't read the sign
at
the front of the door.
Right. The phones. As he gives the example, and he's going to use this example later in the fourth chapter of Shar Yochid Vamuna, stay tuned, of the amount of light which is diffused or divulged from the sun. How much sun ray actually hits the earth 93 million miles from the sun compared to what's at the sun?
1 trillionth of a trillion?
Yeah, I don't even know if you put a number on it.
It's infinitesimally small.
Yeah, it's like really tiny, the amount of sun that actually comes and hits here.
Mm.
Okay, and they're both physical, and we're saying how little it is.
Right.
And what happens if you stand out in the sun too long?
You get burned. Yeah,
if
we were 20 miles closer or 20 miles farther away.
Yeah, exactly.
We wouldn't exist. Yeah.
Yeah. So this comparably speaking, it is also the amount of godliness that's down in this world is like a sun ray.
Right. You
see, in fact, in Shar Yichud Ve'amuna, not Shar Yichud Ve'amuna, in Geras HaKodesh, it's the Menchaf. So he calls it a ray of a ray of a ray. An offshoot of an offshoot of an offshoot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A diminution of a diminution of a diminution.
It takes a 500,000 years for a sun ray to get out of the sun.
Okay.
It's bouncing from
so
all the other...
So it must have started well before creation then.
It's 500,000 years, well...
Yeah,
because
we've only been here for 5,700 years.
We're talking about...
In the real world,
24-hour days or not, whether you
right. So Hashem
it's
made,
bouncing
yeah.
around. They had it's really old light that was created, and it's
I'll take old
so
light.
Hard for it. It's vintage. So little of it
it's
even
vintage
gets,
light.
Yes.
So little of the sun's light even gets out of the sun because it's stuck bouncing inside.
Okay, exactly. Crashing and yes, it's only just a little bit of it that gets out.
It even gets out. And then a little bit more that gets to us.
I like that idea. Vintage sunlight. Right. Put it in a bottle, put a label on it.
Well, I mean,
it's not unique here, though.
This sunlight was emanated 500 million years ago.
You could sell that on eBay.
Vintage sunlight.
Vintage
yes.
sunlight, yes. This, yes. Uh-huh.
We could describe its tones, yes.
Yes, indeed, yes.
Raka Ormis Pashetas Amei Erma Makar Zak, Kedimian Ormis Shemes Bajmal Derek Moshul. The Kaychai Sevari HaGuf Mahamaya Chanal. Another example is the soul powers that are coming off the brain. Our brains are really intense. It's an amazing thing. The brain is really, for all intents and purposes, the last frontier.
Yes.
I have a daughter who in maybe sixth grade, I'm not sure when it was, suddenly had developed this fascination for the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And has decided that's what she's going to do with her life. You know, she's just like, how does the brain do that?
Neurophysiology now?
Yeah, exactly. How does the brain do that? You know, and what's making it do that? Because it's a very fascinating thing, because you talk about it, you know, those things that are talked about in Chassidus, and we mentioned last week, the week before, that every part of the body is contained within the brain.
Mm-hmm.
In a potential.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of soul that's in the brain doesn't enclose itself into the various body parts. If it were to do that, you'd be glowing. Only just a little tiny bit of brain energy, or the energy that's in the brain, diffuses along the neural system,
right,
until it's enclosed in the various specific body parts.
Right.
And by the time it gets to, say, your toes, it's just another ray of a ray of a ray.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look, just even thinking, you know, well, compare your ability to wiggle your pinky toe, everybody's wiggling their pinky toes right now, and your ability to process calculus. Okay? They both require brain power. Okay, but the amount of neshama, of soul that's in your pinky toes that require it to wiggle is a whole lot less than the amount of brain power which is required for processing higher math.
Right, yes.
Umakar zehu hanikra alma disgalia. Umacha nisa, uematata, ushchina. This level of godliness which relates directly to us is called, in the various different philosophies, depending which one you're looking at, they all have different names for the same thing. These are not different names. These are this is not different things. This is different names for the same thing.
Right.
The world of revelation, the matron, the lower mother, and the divine presence. And he could throw in there also, you could throw in there Adonai also, which is the name of God. And is there any other ones? I think Malchus is also this is the same thing. They're all doing this. This is, and if you analyze what each one of them is doing, you see it's doing exactly the same thing. As we said last week, you talk about Lord. What's Lord? Lord is the boss. In order to have a boss, you have to have somebody to be a boss over. Malchus is the same thing. In order to be a king, you have to have a king. You have to have subjects to be able to relate to the subjects. Lower mother. There's only one way to get to be a mother. You gotta have kids.
Mm.
You gotta give birth. That's
right,
you know.
Right.
Shekhinah, the divine presence, he's gonna talk about right here. Malashin v'shachanti b'seicham. When it says, I'll dwell among you.
Mm.
It's that aspect of God that relates to us. That's what we're gonna call, for all intents and purposes, Hashem's brain. Al Shem Makar Zehu Reishis Hizgalus Or Ein Seif. This is the first revelation of the infiniteness of Hashem. Asher Mamshech Umeir LaOlam Mais Bechinas Gilei. That comes down into this world in a revealed way. Not that it's the first level of revelation. There's tons of revelation that we can't relate to. This is the first level, and this is like, for all intents and purposes, this is the bottom of creation. The only thing we could relate to is the last step.
Yeah.
Because you think about it, you call it Seder Histalshel, it's a chain reaction. Classic example of a chain reaction is the domino theory.
Sure.
Okay, when you're looking at the last domino that just fell over, what caused that domino to fall over? There's a domino next to it.
Previous one, right.
And that's all that you can really relate to. Right. You have to assume, and looking at these dominoes that all fell down, that the domino which was third from the end caused the domino which was next to last to push over the last domino. That's what you have to assume. Right. Now, with us, we don't see any of that. We only see, if your vision would be blocked and only be able to see is the first domino and maybe a bit of the second one, understanding that there must be a second one, a next to last one, so you come up with a conclusion, oh, since this is a domino, and the domino has fallen down, it must be that something pushed it down, and what is it that pushed it down? Is another domino, since we're talking about domino theory.
Right.
So that we can relate to it in that way. What's going on before that? That we really can't relate to that. So it all is also there, since we are in a creation. And we said this for the last, I don't know, 10 chapters. Since there's a creation, there must be a creator. Do we know anything about the creator? Yeah, we talk about it when you talk about the being. He said in the last chapter, supraspatial, supratemporal, was, always will be, occupies all space equally, doesn't change because they can't change. These are things we have to come to the conclusion, given the fact that we're willing to accept that there's something called a creator that's not limited by us. Okay? But that's all that we're able to talk about. Okay? We'll give it all kinds of fancy names, like Matranusa, and Imatata, and Malchus, and Shrina, and Adma. Umakar zed nimshich l'chol echad ha'or v'hachayas prati haroi alai. And from this source, which is where all this godliness is coming into this world, there is drawn down to every organism the specific amount of vitality which is proper for it. V'sheichin umislabish b'seicham, and it dwells and clothes itself in them, lahachiyosim, to enliven them. Mm-hmm. We talk about the word, the idea of godliness being enclosed in. So enclosed, when you say, the one thing, you know, when you wear clothes, something that you have to say about your clothes is your clothes have to fit.
Right.
If your clothes don't fit, then they're not doing the job. Okay, the clothes are specifically supposed to be able to make it such that you can relate to others. That's the whole purpose of your clothes. Okay, if you're wearing a shirt that's too tight, or pants that's, and pants that are too tight, and a person's gut, and we all got it, we're all over 50, you know, their gut's hanging out over there, and it's like, ew, hello, you're too old for that. Uh-huh. So the clothes aren't doing their job, because okay. They're supposed to make us presentable.
Mm. The clothes just keep remove distractions. If we all had to sit here without our clothes, we wouldn't be able to learn. We wouldn't want to sit
together. We wouldn't be able to. That's true. You wouldn't be able to because the Torah says you can't.
I look down at the mikvah.
You can't. You know, you're not allowed to learn. Somebody's right. Got to have their clothes on. Right. Okay. Or so your clothes, the point is, without digressing, your clothes have to fit.
Yeah. Right.
And then you're presentable. Mm-hmm. So the godliness, we use the verb, enclothes itself in the organism, which means that the godliness fits. Just right. So that the organism is now presentable, whatever that organism happens to be.
Right.
Okay? And just like your socks are a whole lot smaller than your pants are.
Boy, that's a good thing.
So the godliness going into a rock is a whole lot less than the godliness going into our brains, hopefully. Lachin nikra eim habanim. Therefore, this level of godliness, which comes in and creates and relates directly to us, is called the mother of the children. As it says, eim habanim smecha. The mother of the children will be happy. Hallelujah. Why is it happy? Because it's a mother. It means it relates to us. Alderek Mashu, Knesset Yisrael. And this name is also called, another name given it to it is the Congregation of Israel. Mm-hmm. That the word congregation means a whole bunch.
superset, I would thought.
Yeah, okay. The same
600,000 souls.
Yeah, it's the congregation. It's the source of all of the neshamas. Okay? It means a whole bunch.
All that ever will have ever been.
Correct. That's Knesset Yisrael. Okay? And from that is drawn from the vitality that goes to Knesset Yisrael, which is the source of all the neshamas, come specific levels of soul powers, which go to specific neshamas. So what's the source of the neshama? The source of the neshama is going to be called Knesset Yisrael, the congregation of Israel. Shemamakar Zen Natzlu Neshamas De Atzilus. From this source, we have the souls of Atzilus, for example. V'nivro Neshamas De Bria, and has created the souls of creation, etc. There's formed the souls of formation, and has made the souls of action. V'kulin Einarach Yispashtus Hachayas V'ha'or Mahamakar Hazeh. What's a neshama? A neshama is a defulgence of life coming from this source. That's what a neshama is. There's a little spin-off of godliness, this little Knesset Yisrael flare, like a sun flare, that comes up and just like shoots out this godliness thing. And that little spark of godliness that got shot out from its source comes and encloses in our bodies. Okay? Markers and Ozel, Menishamas of Atzilus, the Nivro, and Nishamas de Bria, the Kulin Ainan Rak, Mehispashis, the Chayas, the Haor, Mahamakar, Hazeh, Hanikra, Shechina. And where is it all coming from? Basically, that line says it's coming from its source. And at this point, we're calling it Shechina, because the whole purpose of the revelation is, does the Shechina dwell down here? Not the Shechina from its source.
No.
That was the whole point of the first mimer that the Rebbe said, the idea of Iker Shechina B'tachtenim, that wherever you have a level of Malchus, you have a level of Shechina. Hmm. And we want to say, well, what's the Iker Shechina? What's the main Shechina? Why is there a Shechina? Why is there a divine presence? So that there be godliness down here. This is where you have the main divine presence, because this is what Hashem created the world for. Hashem did not make the creation for an Atzilus. So
this is the Shechina that we have over above us. If we're righteous, right in us.
Yeah,
is the Shechina of Atzilus of Asiya.
Correct. That would be the Shechina of the world of action.
Okay.
Because that's what relates directly to us. Okay, it's not bad if you could tap into it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I'm working on it.
Good idea.
Like this diffusion of sun ray from the sun. What's happening with the divine presence itself? That's us. You have this ray of godliness that comes down now through the whole process, and it's just enough godliness that it comes through the Torah and enlivens the world the way it's supposed to be enlivened. But the Shechina itself, Shehi Reishis Hagila V'Ikara Ma She'Ein Sei Baruch Hu Meir La'Olam HaZuchinas Giloi. This divine presence, which we call the Shechina, is the beginning of the revelation, and it's the primary way in which the infiniteness of Hashem illuminates down here in these worlds in a revealed way. It is the source of all derivatives of godliness coming into all of the worlds. When we say Shekhinah, the divine presence, the whole purpose of the divine presence is lower mother. What's the whole purpose of a mother is to have kids? Is to create these various offspring in three dimensions that, in order that they should, and enliven them with the godliness, in order that the godliness should be elevated. Short the bracket. Shekol chayish shebehem einu rak or hamispashit memenei ka'or hamispashit mashemesh. That the godliness that's in us, we said it 8 zillion times. The godliness that comes into us is just diminutive godliness, and it has to go through the whole process. And the time that it comes to us, it's, we use the famous line, it's like Velveeta cheese.
Yes, indeed.
Which is almost like food. It started out as food, but it's not food anymore.
It's great paste.
I'm waiting for somebody from Kraft to hear my class and come after me and say, okay, if you'll be my sponsor, Mr. Kraft, I'll find another example. I don't know if I would put a picture of Velveeta cheese on my website. That I wouldn't do, sorry. Now, as far as the Shekhinah is concerned, we couldn't bear one micron of unbridled divine presence.
Mm.
It would just totally, completely blow us away. Mm. Unfiltered godliness, we wouldn't have no, even if it was very, very little
even
bit.
Even from the Sia. Even the Shekhinah was Sia.
Even if it was just a very little bit. But because it's unfiltered, it would totally, completely ruin physics. The whole physics would just disappear.
No,
that's what we mean to say. That's what we mean to say when we say that the godliness maintains its integrity. The example which is given in the I don't know if I remember giving this last week, the week before. The example which is given is of that of you put water, clear water, into a blue glass. The water looks blue. Is the water blue? The water's not blue. You take it out of the blue glass, you'll pour it into a clear glass, you'll see the water's not blue.
Right.
In the blue glass, it looks blue. And if you take that blue glass with the water in it and you stick it into a yellow glass, so it's going to look like green water. And if you take it, you put it into a red glass, those two glasses, it's not going to look brown. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the water maintains its integrity the whole time. Right. So the godliness maintains its integrity the whole time. And if it were to come out unfiltered, what would be if you have a blue glass inside a yellow glass, inside a blue, a brown glass, and someone comes and puts a hole in all three glasses, what do you have? Okay. Empty glasses.
Hmm.
Okay, don't tell me about brown water. You don't have anything over there. Because the water is now all over the place.
Right.
So the godliness, which acts as a garment for conveying the godliness, defines it and it makes it usable. And if it would be that the godliness would not be so defined, for whatever reason, some sort of defect in the keli, so then the keli would cease to exist. It would just get totally, completely blown away. Because the word keli means it has a use. A cup that has a hole in it has no use. Yeah, it's not a keli anymore. So the divine kelim, if you put too much godliness through them in an unfiltered manner, they become ois kelim. They're not kelim anymore.
Right.
They're not vessels and vehicles for godliness. And he gives an example, and he's going to talk more at length at this in Shar Yochid V'Amunah, that you have the light of the sun, and the light of the sun before it's been emitted from the sun is totally and completely nullified in its existence to the sun. It doesn't exist as something separate from the sun, it's part of the sun.
Indistinguishable.
It is the sun. And you can't, you know, have no discernible way of knowing about or. The only way that we know about it is if it's here, it must have come from there. Since this is sunlight, and that's a sun, so it must have come from there. Yes, actually, there are, I think I've talked about this before, there are infrared cameras and satellites that are pointed at the sun. And one of the things that they monitor is the emission of sun rays. And they know exactly where the sun ray, the next sun ray is going to come out of the sun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's constantly coming out all the time. It may have taken 500 million years, but once it got on a roll, it just, you know, it just kept going.
It's downhill from here.
You know, once it got over the initial inertia.
There you go.
Okay, so we're following a certain portion of the surface of the sun, and we're seeing, zing, the godliness come out. But before that, we can kind of say sometimes we see the surface of the sun rumbling in these cameras, knowing a sun's going to come out of there. A sun ray's going to come out of there. But what are they looking at? Are they looking at a sun ray? No, they're looking at the surface of the sun. Because a sun ray has no existence in the sun. We are going to stop here.
That's a good place to stop.
Yeah, we're on page 274, about a third of the way down. First word on the line is Umahu Halavush. To be continued.